That's Romans chapter 12 and James chapter 3. We're going to be talking about two things this morning. We're going to be talking about being a pleasing, letting your sacrifice and your holiness be acceptable unto God. And then we're also going to be talking about the tongue this morning in James. So if you would, we're going to begin in Romans chapter 12. And we're going to begin in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, that to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God hath dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. And if you would, skip down to verse 9. Let love be without this, hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with them who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, if you will hold your place there and move over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, we'll be beginning in verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn the whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, where whatsoever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is sown among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and of the sea and reptile and creatures have been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Therefore, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So if you will return to Romans 12, we will begin there. We all have a responsibility when we get saved and get baptized to be the Lord's servant, to do what he has us to do. Some people have different jobs. Some people, the Lord calls them to preach. Some people, they're called to lead singing. Some people, they're called to pray. Some people are called just to be a listening ear to somebody. Give them a call and say, how are you doing today? And just listen to them. Some people, and being a good listener is a gift. A lot of people don't have it. They don't listen to half of what you're saying, or they kind of shut you off and don't really get the gist of what you're trying to explain to them. So being a listener is an important job. So it talks about in verse 1 there in chapter 12 of Romans, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. I want my sacrifice to be acceptable to God. I hope you do. Which is your reasonable service. So don't act like you're doing some great big thing or you're doing God some great big favor by presenting your body a living sacrifice. That's just our reasonable service that the Lord wants us to do and demands that we do. Do not be conformed to this world. And that is hard to do in this society. You got people just wanting you to do evil. You got TV shows on TV glorifying everything. Everything that's evil, they glorify it. And we need to stand up and be not conformed to these type of things. But if you read on the next part of that verse, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, there's that word acceptable again, and perfect will of God. So for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. We got a lot of people doing that even in the church today. They get puffed up. Oh, look at what I'm doing. My job's more important than your job. Boom, 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 boom. And they get puffed up. And they act like they're bigger and better than what they are. God lets us do everything we do in this life. God allows us to have our next breath. We don't have to have our next breath, but God allows it to happen. So we need to give God thanks in everything that we do and every person that we touch and everything that we are, because that's what God requires us to do. If you go down to verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. And we talked about that just a few minutes ago. Everybody's got their own job to do. Pray to the Lord, give me a job to do. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Don't just go through the motions. Oh, coming to church is a great place to kill an hour. Don't have an attitude like that. Ask to be used of God, and He will find someone to help you and send somebody your way that you can help, that you can minister to, that you can show your life is different than the world's life is. Because I've had people do it to me before, not for boasting in me, but I'm saying, they say, you know, you don't do things the way you do everybody else does. You're not running around your wife. You know, you're not staying at home on Sunday mornings. You know, you try to do the right things. What makes you different? And I tell them, it's not me, it's the Lord. The Lord changes your life. The Lord eternally changes your life. And that's what we all need to strive to do, is be pleasing to the Lord, as we talked about earlier. So if we continue going down in chapter 12, in verse 9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. There's a lot of hypocrisy going on these days. People, they act like they love you, but then they'll turn around and they'll stab you in the back the minute your back is turned. That's not love. That's being a hypocrite. And most people don't like to hear, oh, you're a hypocrite. Oh, don't you call me a hypocrite. You're no better than I am. I'm not telling you that. The Word is telling you that. So if you've got a problem with the Word, you've got a problem with God, not with me. So it says, abhor that which is evil. Cling to which is good. If you're clinging to something, you're holding on to it for dear life. You want to hang on to it at all cost. So the Lord wants us to cling to the good things. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. 14 is so hard to do. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Oh boy, I can't wait to get even with them. They'll get theirs, let me tell you. Or you see bumper stickers that says, I don't get mad, I get even. That's not the way God wants us to act. We need to bless the ones that persecute us. We need to pray for the ones that despitefully use us, as Jesus said in Matthew 5. We need to pray for those people that they come to a knowledge of the truth. Rejoice with them who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Don't be conceited. Oh, my opinion has more weight than yours does. You know, if the Word doesn't say it, don't even think about it. This is the guidebook that God has given us to get to heaven through His Word. Excuse me. In verse 17, it says, repay no one evil for evil. That goes back to bless and do not curse. You know, don't be this tit-for-tat person. Oh, they did this to me, so I'm going to turn around and do this to them. I've had people tell me, well, I'm just not going to do anything to do anything against them, but I'm just not going to have anything to do with them. That's not right either. We're supposed to bless the ones that persecute us, not just shun them and say, well, they were mean to me, so I'm just not going to talk to them. I'm not going to associate with them. I'm not going to do anything to help them. I'm just going to stay away from them. That's not the way you reach somebody for Christ. And it says, give place unto wrath in verse 19. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. And I've heard people misquote this scripture more times than I've got fingers and toes. Oh yeah, I'm heaping coals of fire on their head. Yeah, I got even with them. That's not what that means. The scripture's talking about when they refined the gold and they put the fire on it and the gold melted down. It melts out all the impurities to where it's a pure, finer piece of gold. It's not saying, well, I'm getting even with them and, you know, I'm getting what I want. That's how you help somebody, by letting them know that you care about them, God cares about them, and God will take care of the rest if you are sincere. Now, as we finish up this morning, in James chapter 3, if you'll move back over, chapter 3 in verse 2 says we all stumble in many things, and we do. We all have many things that we fall. Something happens, we don't do the right thing. Something happens and we should have done the right thing, but we didn't do the right thing. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. You know, you that ride horses and things, and I'm not anything like a horse rider. I'd get on a horse and I would be done. I'd be done. It would buck me off and I'd fall on the ground and hit my head or whatever. I'm just not the horse type. But if you notice you have that bridle and you have the bits in the horse's mouth, and you can guide that horse, have him do what you want him to do. And it's just a small bit, but you can control that animal just by that bit. If we continue in verse 4, look also at ships, also that are so large and are driven by fierce winds, that are turned about by a very small rudder, whereby the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. You got these big old steamliners, big old battleships, and yet they're turned in water and out of the water, turned one way or the other way by a very small helm. See how great a force a little fire kindleth. And a little bit further down in verse 5. It's incredible how you see on TV, oh, there was a forest fire in California. It's burned 20,000 acres. How was it started? Somebody left a campfire going. Somebody threw a cigarette out a window and started the trees on fire. Just the little bitty things like that can cause great catastrophes. It's just like the tongue. The tongue can cause great catastrophes. I mean, you could take me out in that back room. You could use all your strength and you can beat on me and beat on me and beat on me, and then you can take a rest for a while and come back in and beat on me some more, and you couldn't do as much damage to me as some people can do with their tongue. I mean, that's just, you can do more damage to somebody's reputation. You can do more harm by not showing love the way you're supposed to be doing than even with your fist. So it's important that we always show what we need to do. So let's continue. In verse 9 it says, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made out of the similitude of God. We are made in God's image. So we are supposed to act like that. We are supposed to be God's ambassadors, God's imitators on this earth. And yet we turn around and somebody cuts us off in traffic. You dirty so-and-so, and you lose your temper. The Lord doesn't want you doing that. Now, everybody gets mad every once in a while, but you need to pray for forgiveness for that. And always remember that we are God's ambassadors to everyone we see. That's whether you're at work, you're at school, you're in the grocery store, aisle line, waiting to get your groceries, you're out on the street driving. We are God's ambassadors no matter where we are. And we need to act like that. It says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing in verse 10. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. It's the same, same thing we just talked about. You shouldn't have blessing and cursing coming out of the same mouth. One, it ruins your witness. Oh, I saw you saying so and so and so and so, or gossiping about so and so, or I seen the language that you use when you're not at church. You're no better than I am. At least I'm not claiming to be something I'm not. And they've got a point. We need to be careful what kind of example that we're setting other people. For God. Not for us, but for God's glory, not for our glory. It says, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. You can't have one and the other at the same time. They just don't get along. It's not feasible. So, I have said all this to say this morning. We need to reach that higher plane when we're trying to strive to please God. We need not to let anger rule our lives. We need to show love to everyone we see. We need to watch our tongue that we don't say the wrong things. And God will bless us for these efforts. And you got to say, God, help me with these things, because nobody's perfect. God will help you with these things if you ask Him. And we need to do that. So, if you would at this time, this is about all I have this morning. I know this has been kind of scattered around, but we try to do what the Lord would have us to do. And hopefully Jerry will have me back here in the next 3-4 years. If you would stand, we're going to sing number 84. As the song of invitation this morning. If you respond to the invitation in any way, if you wrong somebody and you want to make it right, if you need to come to the Lord and be saved and baptized for the remission of your sins, you can do that this morning. Maybe you've been an unfaithful Christian and done some things you're not proud of. You can take care of that this morning. So if you respond to the invitation in any way, come now as we sing.